speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So can you hear me okay? Yes. So if I ask you this evening, what are your moments of happiness? It may take you a minute or two to process this question, but then you may answer it with a particular situation, or a person, or a moment in time. The day you became a Christian, holding a baby, leaving home, singing, or perhaps being asked to come and speak here this evening. Now, if I asked you the same question, but with the word joy instead, what are your moments of joy? And would your answers be the same? Have you thought about the differences between joy and happiness? I'm not sure why, but I haven't made a note of this before, but joy is different to happiness. Happiness is the happenings of good things happening. Where joy, I shall take it instead. Joy is something much deeper, an intense sense of being that is hard to make sense or put into words. It's not necessarily related to what is currently happening, but a state of mind, which is why I think we can find joy in the midst of grief and pain. Joy is knowing that God is with us no matter what. In a world full of sin and death, illness and horror, it is possible to be full of joy and overflowing with joy. We come from joy and we return to joy. Now, personally, I'm a bigger fan of William Blake's art, but I rather like this poem, so I'm going to read it to you. Maybe some of you here know this poem. Joy and woe are woven fine, a clothing for the soul divine. Under every grief and pine runs a joy with silken twine. It is right it should be so. We were made for joy and woe. And when this we rightly know, through the world we safely go. The relationship between joy and sorrow is interconnecting, coexisting. It is in the very heart of the gospel. Pope Francis described this joy in a homily in 2016. It's the joy of having been chosen by Jesus, saved by Jesus, regenerated by Jesus. The joy of that hope that Jesus is waiting for us. The joy that even with the crosses and the sufferings we bear in this life, it expresses in another way, which is peace, in the certainty that Jesus accompanies us, is with us. Now, you were handed the psalm reading, so I want you to have a look at this now in front of you, and all that I've been saying will hopefully make sense. So our psalm reading is Psalm 126, and it expresses the themes of redemption, that humanity is redeemed through Jesus Christ and our joy and gratitude to God. Psalm 126 is often recited, sung in full before the grace after meals on Jewish holidays. So it's rather apt that we sing it this evening as it marks and celebrates the harvest festival here. And of course, harvest is the thanksgiving of all the good fruits, the gifts of the earth, the gifts of that others bring to us through the land, through sea, through water, air, and the gifts that we can share with others as we give our joy and gratitude to God. Now, if we look at this psalm a little closer, and don't be distracted by the heading. For instance, in my Bible, it said a harvest of joy. This is a song asking God to bring joy and restoration to the present. The song is about joy remembered and joy anticipated. Despite Jerusalem being in the midst of great sorrow, in both cases, the joy is the work of the Lord, in the first through the restoration of Zion, and in the second through the renewal of those who sing the song. And so for us today, it finds its ultimate meaning in Jesus as we sing it. Joy when it comes down to us. You see, it's not about us being constantly upbeat and optimistic, but rather what Pope Francis says. It's peace in the certainty that Jesus accompanies us, is with us. So when I use the term discipline of joy, it's not about restrictions and being made to do something, but rather the opposite. We should have a discipline of joy because that will help us to be liberated by joy, moved by love, and then have a desire to be restored in Jesus. Now, Psalm 126 is often used for harvest and Thanksgiving services, like this evening, because of its references to the reaping and the harvest. But actually, it's designed and designated in common worship to be used for Sundays during Advent and Lent, because it speaks of the great change that occurs in the birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it teaches that not only those who move towards Christmas and Easter with tears of repentance may enter into the joy of the greater things God does for us. So sometimes what life throws at us means we have to dig deep, connect with the peace found in Jesus. It means embracing a discipline of joy. Sing, even when it's hard, because God is ever present. And we collectively, we have much to be joyful for because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now remember, Psalm 126 is sung before a meal, by a family or a gathering. It's not particularly designed to be read on its own. Sometimes we can rely on others to get us through dark patches when the sun has gone behind a cloud. And in those moments, we can't always see the joy in our lives. But through others, through you and me, being together, which is what church is, what it is, isn't it? Us being together, collectively loving God, being loved by God. Us being church together, we can be a mirror to one another and direct the sun to each other. So going back then to my opening question now, what does joy mean to you? And how might you go about getting a discipline of joy? So let us pray. Jesus, God with us, teach us the discipline of digging deep so that even in times of sorrow and hardship, we may experience your joy. Amen.
We stand to sing hymn 284, For the Fruits of All Creation, 284. Let us pray. In the evening of the day, we come to you, O God, bringing before you the blessings and the burdens of this day. We pray for the work and witness of our churches and for all who live and work in our parishes. We pray for the grace to become more Christ-like in all we do and to adopt a discipline of joy. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favourably on your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery, and by the tranquil operation of your perpetual providence, carry out the work of our salvation, and let the whole world feel and see that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are returning to perfection through him from whom they took their origin, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the evening of the day, we come to you, O God, bringing before you the needs of our world. For peace among nations and all who work for peace. For all situations of injustice. For all who are denied their basic human rights. For our precious planet, which you entrust us to care for and preserve. And on this harvest festival, we give thanks for the abundance of your creation. And we pray for a greater awareness of our responsibility to use the resources of the earth sustainably, with wisdom, and for the good of all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you declare your glory and show forth your handiwork in the heavens and the earth. Deliver us in our various occupations from the service of self alone, that we may do the work you have given us to do in truth and beauty and for the common good, for the sake of him who came among us as one who serves, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the evening of the day, we come to you, O God, bringing before you all who are in particular need of our prayers at this time, and those whose needs are known to you alone. And in the silence of our hearts, we remember those who are especially in need of our prayers this night. To your keeping, O Lord God, we commend all those whose enjoyment of life has been taken away by sickness, tragedy, or any other cause. May your love and joy sustain them in their suffering, and may you support all around them who care for them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the many blessings of this life, but above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace, and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honour and glory throughout all ages. Amen. If you would like to make a donation, a contribution towards our harvest appeal, this year we are taking financial donations towards the work of the food bank and the gatehouse, and there's an opportunity if you wish to donate as you leave the service this evening. We'll now sing our final hymn, 539, Let All Create.